Coming up next, special guest Guy Raz, broadcasting legend, NPR, some of the greatest podcasts out there, joins me live, and we take your calls together. It's going to be great, and it starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Colbert Show. Thrilled to have you as we talk about your life and your work and how they work together. Thrilled to have you with us because, folks, if you want to win at work, you need to be winning in life. If you want to win in life, you need to be winning at work. You can't separate the two because if it starts to suck in one of those areas, you're dragging it to the other. And I can tell you this, you were created to contribute. And not just relationally, but professionally. There's more to a job than a paycheck. You know this. Nobody has to teach a human to ask the question, why am I here? And today's a special day. As you know, we get to have some special women and men on this program today. Guy Raz is going to join me in just moments. If you've been under a rock and you don't know who Guy is, well, Guy is a legendary broadcaster. NPR is where his home is. He's also the founder, the former host and co-creator of TED Radio Hour. The superlatives continue. Of course, we know him from Wisdom from the Top. I was on that recently and we promoted that. But folks, this is a guy who talks to some of the greatest minds and hearts in all of business in his famous podcast, How I Built This. And he's a guy that has sat up close. He does incredible research. Listening to Guy interview people is something that I enjoy deeply because of the forethought that he puts into it and how he listens in the actual conversation. He's not just a curious guy. He learns from it and brings it to the audience in the form of questions that most people never ask or get asked for his guests. And he's got a great story. We're going to dive into it. The theme today, building a bridge to the dream job. What does this guy know about dreamers and visionaries? He knows a lot. And a little bit later in the program, we're going to take your calls together. The phone number's on the screen, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's get to it. Let's bring him in. Guy, welcome to the Ken Colbert Show.
Ken, thank you so much for having me. I got to say, you know, one of the things that, and you know this with what you do, one of the things that is often the most meaningful is when you hear a colleague compliment you and say nice things about you. It of course, is incredibly meaningful when listeners say that. But when somebody who does this, like you, says that, it really it means a lot. And I really appreciate that.
Well, you're a kind soul, and you're one of the best in the business. I got to tell you, somebody who thinks about questions the way you think about them and dives in and you bring these conversations to the masses, and it's so important. So I want our audience to hear from what you've learned, okay? But before we dive into some of the conversations that you've been able to have and what you've learned, I want to go back to the start for you, at least as the bio shows. You started out as an intern, and I love internships. I talk about internships. I think we've gotten away from the power of the struggle, but also the possibilities that internships bring. And you started out as an intern on All Things Considered in 1997. What was that experience like for you?
You know, it was an amazing experience, and I'll sort of start at the end, which is today, which is where I am. I run my own production company, mm-hmm. I'm no longer an employee of NPR, but I work with them on some of my shows that I do, and work with other partners, but have had a relationship with NPR now for more than 25 years. And I got there in the late 90s when NPR was really kind of still growing, as a major news organization, and it was a really exciting time. I mean, a lot of your listeners who are maybe over the age of sort of 60 will remember a guy named Daniel Shore. Oh, yeah. And very soon after my internship started, I got a job as his assistant. He was this legendary CBS reporter in the 60s. He covered the end of World War II. He covered the Vietnam War, the civil rights struggle. He was one of Walter Cronkite's guys. He was an original Murrow boy. Edward R. Murrow had this group of legendary reporters who kind of turned CBS into what was known as the Tiffany Network. And Dan Shore was one of these guys. And as he sort of in the kind of the golden years of his career, I was his assistant. And that was incredible to really be working under a living legend. He was a tough SOB. He would give me no quarter. He would yell at me. Sometimes I would feel horrible. He was so exacting. He was so committed to the truth and to accuracy that he wouldn't allow any mistake to go without opprobrium. He was so fierce that you never wanted to let him down. And, you know, I was 22 when I worked with him after my internship, you know, doing everything, typing on typewriters for him, doing internet research because he didn't know how to use the internet, you know, helping him, you know, helping to revise his scripts. But really, he was a master at writing and thinking about the news and the world around him. And he was deeply curious. He knew about, you know, politics in Eastern Europe, and he could reach into his mind and pull out references to, you know, historical moments, whether it was Charlemagne or, you know, or King Louis XIV. I mean, he was an incredibly hungry, curious person who was an autodidact. He went to the City University of New York. He didn't go to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton. He was a working class kid who grew up without a dad, you know, and rose to the top of his career. And I watched him as a very young man and was so deeply inspired by him and absorbed so many lessons from him. Yes, he was harsh. Yes, he sometimes made me cry, but I loved him. I'll never forget the impact he had on me early in my career.
Wow. So I have to ask, did that experience solidify, clarify anything, or did you come to this going, I already knew this was my dream, Ken, I knew this was where I was going, and it just verified it? Or did it in some ways illuminate and clarify to say, hey, this is tough, but I think I really want to do this? I'm curious how that played out.
You know, I mean, like you, I was interested in a lot of different things. You know, at one point, I thought I would get into politics. You know, at one point I thought I'd get into something, you know, related to, I always loved foreign policy. I grew up in a family, and I think similar. We talked a little bit about this, where we would watch 60 Minutes on Sunday night when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s. We were that kind of family gathered around, you know, Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. That was a different time in our country's culture and history, where we all kind of gathered around one, you know, news broadcast. But I remember the news being a really important part of my life growing up. And I was involved in the newspaper in high school and in college, and it was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a news person. And the reason why I thought I wanted to be a news person, and I still think that this applies to, in some ways, to what I do today, but very differently, was I thought that, you know, I think when we're starting out in our careers, it's very, and I think it makes a lot of sense. We want to have an impact, right? We want to do something meaningful that, you know, it might not change the entire world, but might change our communities, might have an impact on the people around us. It might even be something like starting a small business that enables you to hire people who, you know, can feed their families and send their kids to college. I mean, that's impact, right? Right there and then. And for me, the idea of impact was going overseas and somehow telling stories about different people around the world and seeing if I could help bridge those divides.
All right,
divides.
So I got to break in. Quick break. Hold the thought. More with Guy coming right up. Don't move. Hey, folks. Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have my special guest, Guy Raz, legendary broadcaster and podcaster. See, I know him as a broadcaster, but the reality is I'm 47, and a lot of you people, I know our demographic here, they're like, broadcaster? What is this? He's a legendary podcast. Yes, he's both, people, you youngsters out there. And he joins me here on the Ken Coleman Show. Okay, Guy, so we had to do a quick break, and you were saying that, you got out there and you had the same news experience I had growing up, right? Yeah. It was the legendary broadcasters. It was the shows, and it was like the stalwarts. And then you get into NPR and you're surrounded by legends. At what point do you go, okay, I think this is the path that I'm going down, and I'll let you take some time with this one, a couple minutes on this one, and then how does it lead to you getting to the point where you go, I want to do deep dive conversations that you've really become notable and you've really built an incredible brand on?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this when you were on my show. We're exactly the same age, and I think we had very similar kind of parallel upbringings, right? Different parts of the country. And, for me, the idea of getting into the news business was a chance to explore the world. First of all, I was excited about the chance of going overseas. And second of all, I really believed in this idea. And I can talk about this later on. I'm not so sure I believe in it today, but I believed in this idea at the time that the news could actually bring people together. That if we all kind of understood each other a little bit better in different ways, it might lead to bridging differences and divides, particularly when we're talking about, countries overseas that were at war, right? And I think I realized pretty early on, once I got to NPR and worked for Daniel Shore, that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a broadcaster. The reason why I loved radio news was because you could build a picture in the mind's eye.
Yes.
There's this incredibly rich tapestry of you can create a world in someone's mind, right? If you're listening to this, you can be entirely blind right now listening to our conversation, and you can imagine with clarity what we're doing, what we look like, what we're describing. And in a sense, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go out and find stories of people and tell their stories through this medium. And that really is how I kind of began my career. I started out by writing articles for local newspapers in Washington, D.C. while I was working for Daniel Shore and while I was doing some production work and learning about radio production because I hadn't had any experience. I was young. I was 22. And eventually, I started to pitch stories to NPR as a freelancer. And occasionally they would give me the green light and I would get to tell a 2 or 3 minute story about, some local story in the Washington, D.C. area. And I did that for a few years. But I really, really focused on it. One of the things that I tell a lot of, especially younger people, I don't know, it's kind of controversial advice. And Ken, I think you can totally relate to this, which is you really have to focus on building your career in an intense and intentional way early on. One of the pieces of advice that I got when I started my career was be the first one in and the last one to leave.
Yeah.
Now, it's controversial today because we're in a different work environment and we think very differently about work, and I respect that. But there's no question that that had a huge impact on my reputation in the organization as a really hard worker and as somebody who was committed to the craft. So I really, really focused on learning about reporting and doing it by doing it. And here's the other thing that nobody tells you. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what your credentials are, or what university you went to. You're going to be bad at what you do for the first few years.
So true.
And then you're going to be less bad at it. And then you're going to be less until you begin to sort of master it. Mm-hmm. As an interviewer to this day, I would say I've been doing this for 25 years. I would say that it's only in the last sort of 10 years that I've really hit my stride. And I really work to get better and better at it every day. And I'm, pushing 50. So it's one of the beautiful things about any profession is you can get better and better and better at it over time, but you have to understand that at the beginning, you're going to be really bad at it.
That's right. Well, I love that you said this because you and I have a fascination with history. We know that. And I loved going to all these historical sites when I was a kid because, frankly, my parents couldn't afford anything else, and seeing these master woodworkers, trying to make these old colonial chairs. And you'd see in the back of the shop all these broken, gnarled, and then you see their hands and their knuckles. And there's no difference between a woodworker and what you and I do. And if you're going to be serious about your craft, whether it's programming or graphic design or whatever, it really is the craft. I want to shift for a second because you have sat with truly captains of industry, some of the greatest minds in our world today. What do you see as common? And we only got about 4 minutes. He's going to stay with us, by the way, folks. We're going to continue. Is there a commonality that you've noticed? One or two or three between dreamers and visionaries?
Yeah, it's something that I just mentioned in an introduction to a story I did. I interviewed the founder of Discovery Network, Discovery Network's John Hendrick. And it's an amazing story. I mean, he's a guy, he grew up in West Virginia and Alabama, went to the University of Alabama. He, had no connections, no money, no experience. And he started Discovery Channel. Okay. Yeah. It was a dream that he pursued, and it almost went bankrupt in 1986. He was days away from collapsing the entire idea. But what John Hendricks did was what virtually every single person I've interviewed in my life who has found success does, and it's one thing. They have followed their curiosity. Mm-hmm. And we put this, I think, entirely unreasonable, irrational, and frankly, stupid emphasis on the idea of intelligence, right? Yes, what is intelligence? Yes. Intelligence is a meaningless concept. Yes, you can measure intelligence in certain ways based on testing or other forms, but intelligence doesn't actually correlate with success. What correlates with success is a choice to be curious. So you can be, let's say, intelligent, but if you are incurious, if you are uninterested in learning about new things, it's going to stifle your ability to grow. And what connects and binds, Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, to John Hendricks, the founder of Discovery, to the YouTubers Dude Perfect, who've been on my show, who are incredibly successful YouTubers. What connects all these to you, what connects them all is the pursuit of curiosity. You can wake up every single day of your life and say, I'm open to learning new things today. It's like a switch in your mind. Mm. It doesn't require a PhD. It doesn't require a whole load of knowledge. You don't have to be an intellectual. You don't have to read the New York Times. You don't have to be from a wealthy family. You can just decide that I want to learn something new. And that is the thing that connects every single one of these people, every single one.
Folks, I hope you heard what Guy just said. He's absolutely right. It reminds me to promote one of his amazing productions, Wow in the World, number one kids podcast in English. And you know what I love about that, Guy, is that you remind us through that podcast that we all come into this world hardwired to ask hundreds of questions a day. We somehow are getting the wonder stamped and tramped out of us. And how is it that we go from wanderers to wanderers? And I think you just nailed it. We lose that curiosity. At the end of the day, the word wonder, right? It's not just like on the Christmas morning moment. Yeah. It's truly wondering. That's what you do. I mean, you wonder how people built something. And there's something special to that. How does someone, we only got about, I'm going to give you 30 seconds because you can handle it. You're a pro. How does someone revive the curiosity? One thing they can do today.
Look up at the stars at night there and ask yourself, how can I ever get there? And what's amazing is the star you're looking at is the past. The light that is reaching us happened the closest star happened 4 or 5 light years ago. Mm. It would take us 80,000 years to get to the closest star that we can see with our naked eye. It's incredible. Just look up at the stars tonight and ask yourself, am I looking in the past in real time? And the answer
is
you
folks.
Are.
We're taking your calls together next. Don't move. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you. We're here to talk about you, specifically the work that you were created to do. We want to help you win at work so that ultimately you're winning at life. You have purpose in your relational life and in your professional life. We want to help you see how you can marry the two, make the income, and also experience the impact. Speaking of making the move, it's the hottest job market we've ever seen. The musical chairs called The Great Resignation hasn't slowed down. Record numbers were barreling towards 20 million people have left their jobs since August of 2021. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. So if you're thinking about moving, you better make sure it's the right move. We teach you how to do that. But you need to be engaging with my friends at ZipRecruiter, the number one hiring site in the United States. It's easy. With one click, they're going to send you jobs that fit your profile. Takes you just minutes. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. The best way to get hired. Go today. All right. Guy Raz joins me. If you're an NPR fan, you know him from NPR, but now you know him for his podcast, Empire He's Building. How I Built This. Wisdom from the Top, which I had the privilege to be a guest of. I love his kids podcast, Wow in the World. Parents, if you want to have something to kind of keep that curiosity alive and help you rediscover yours, it's a great program. Check it out. And he joins me for the full hour. And one of the things we said we were going to do this year, we said, you know what? I'm not just going to interview people that are brilliant. I want our audience to get to hear them answer calls, just like I get the privilege to do. So I said, Guy, you up for this? He said, I'm in. So Guy, you ready to do this? It's my version of, it's my version of, and audience, you just have to indulge me for a moment, because Guy and I have gotten to know each other. This is my horrible, but I'm trying to honor the legend himself, Larry King Live, to where he would let the guests sometimes weigh in on the caller. And Larry was the best. It was my favorite show all time. All-time favorite show.
And we talked about this.
Yes, we did. And so we're going to have some fun with this. So we're going to go to Denver, Colorado. Colette is on the line. Colette, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. And Guy Raz is here as well. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I feel lucky to have both of you to chat with today. I'll start by saying I feel a little bad to frame this as a problem. I know with the problem in air quotes others would maybe like to have. I have a stable job. I'm good at it. It pays well and provides a really comfortable life for me and my family, but I'm not super connected to the work I do or the people I work with. So question being when or kind of how do I decide if and when to make a change from what I call a golden handcuffs career situation?
Well, I'll tell you what, Colette, I think you've already decided and you kind of called to get some verification, maybe even permission, which you don't need, by the way. But I think you've already decided. Am I right?
I've decided I'd like to do that someday.
Is
being
it
a planner?
Yeah,
it's a little tough to know when and which boxes need to be checked. Yep.
All right. What are you scared of? Because you've made very good money, yes or no?
Yes, I do.
And you've been wise with your money, yes or no?
Yes.
Are you afraid of what others will say, or are you truly afraid that you're going to squander and go out of character for everything we know about you? What's really the fear?
Probably secondarily what others will think or say. I think people who know me know my capabilities, whether it's what I'm doing in my job or not. Probably first and foremost, I am the main breadwinner for our family.
Okay.
It changes more than my life.
Sure.
If I make that change and it doesn't, go smoothly.
Okay. But based on what I already know about you and what you know about yourself, are you going to willy-nilly just jump off of a cliff and hope that it works? Or are you going to find something else and strategically make the moves to step into that? And the chances of you doing something morally stupid or something so ridiculously inept to get fired are slim to none. Is that also a true statement?
Yeah, that would be true.
All right, Guy. So you've interviewed a lot of people here. She's got some normal fears. This is very normal, but this is also
totally
an amazing lady. Talk to her about her fear.
Cole, let me start by saying that I think a significant percentage of this is a mindset issue. Mm-hmm. Right now, as Ken mentioned, we are in one of the tightest labor markets ever, right? The ball is in your court. this is a seller's market. As an employee, yep. you are so valuable. Clearly, you have experience. Clearly, you are senior, relatively senior in your organization. So your ability to go to a similar organization or do similar work is relatively unlimited at this point, because there's a shortage of people like you doing high-level work for organizations. There is intense competition for your talent. So first, understand, you have all the leverage, right? Because you have the talent and the experience. And right now is an unprecedented time in our country when it comes to the job market for people like you. That's the first thing, right? Ken, would you agree with that?
100%. Absolutely right. All right.
Second thing I would say, leaping off of, on what Ken said, I interviewed Jim Cook, the founder of the Boston Beer Company, several years ago, famous for Sam Adams beer. You're in Denver, so you're a Coors. It's a Coors state. But, one of the things that he said when he decided to leave his safe and comfortable job as a consultant, you know, he was in his late 30s. He had kids. He had a mortgage, golden handcuffs, same thing. He was on his way to partnership, you know, a lifetime of you know, secure money. But he asked himself, you know, would it be, he thought about two words, scary and dangerous. And he asked himself, is it scary to leave the Boston Consulting Group and start my own business? And the answer was, yes, it's scary. But is it dangerous if I stay in this job and don't try something different? And that answer was yes as well. And so scary is okay, but dangerous isn't. And the danger would be finding yourself in 10 years doing the same job, still unhappy, without having tried to figure out the next move. Mm-hmm. And how do you do it? Just like Ken said, you don't just jump off a cliff with no parachute attached. You do it very intentionally and mindfully. You begin to put feelers out. You have conversations with people. You start to sort of talk to your network, and maybe even look beyond your network. Look through LinkedIn. Make sure you've got a profile on there, because there are people out there looking for you on LinkedIn right now. And what you do is you begin to have conversations that eventually, hopefully, will lead to the next thing you do.
That's so good. And Colette, here's the deal. You already know the type of work you want to do, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's part of the challenge. You know, I have taken your assessment, Ken. I've got a background in some of that work. It's more on people's social side of things. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to fall into work in a different path that had a lot more opportunity financially. So part of the challenge for me is either a block or the reality of going back to that other kind of work. Pays less in the market than what I've been doing.
Fair, but that's your assumption, and we need to go prove that assumption. The reality is the market is so diverse and so different, and you know the type of work you want to do, and so now you've got to combine the type of work you want to do with your skill set and all of this experience. And so here's what I want to encourage you on, two things. You know the seven stages that I teach. You're clear. Now you need to get a little clearer and verify, where can I go do this and make the kind of money that I want to make? Even if I got to take a bit of a step backward, if it's short term, I'm okay with it. The second thing is that you can get qualified. You're not, too old. There's some things that you could add to the tool belt and you can do whatever you want at this stage. But here's what I want to address. I want to address the other side of the fear that you, and I'm so grateful that you were transparent with us, because you acknowledge that the fear of what others are going to say is a real thing, and it is. The fear of peers, approval, the sense of belonging is deep in our humanness. And to not acknowledge it is a blind spot. So here's what I want to tell you something. I have found, through talking to a lot of callers like you and in my own journey, that I would rather disappoint someone than resent someone. And if you make this decision and it disappoints a few people that have an opinion, fine, that's on them. But if you don't do it because of them, you will eventually resent them, and that's on you. So I would rather disappoint people than resent them. Colette, you got this. Thank you for the call. The best is yet to come. Hey, speaking of that, Guy Raz stays with me. More of your calls coming up. Don't move.
helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose in your work and in your life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So thrilled to have you with us. Some of you are going, who's this guy hosting the show today? I'm a little nasally. I've been cleared, medically cleared, folks, to be back on the field. But the remnants, if you know what I'm saying, are still with me, and I apologize. I am not broadcasting from a coffee can. I actually am at our Ramsey Solutions worldwide headquarters, and my guest for the entire hour is a broadcasting legend, Guy Raz. I mean, this guy, through all of the podcasts and NPR stuff he does for himself, for NPR, we're talking nearly 20 million people, probably more than that, a month. And I think he's had, in my opinion, he has had the opportunity to conduct some of the greatest conversations that we've ever heard. And I mean that. I mean, I listen to his stuff. I study him as a guy who has to do a lot of interviews and enjoys the heck out of it. He's great. So here's what we're doing. We're teaming up to take your calls. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's get right back to it. Monroe, North Carolina, not far, I think, from the Charlotte area. Tommy joins us. Tommy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. And Guy Raz is with us.
Hey, Ken. Hey, guys. Nice to talk to both of y'all. Have been listening for about a year, Ken, to the different podcasts, and have really enjoyed listening to what you have to say and trying to implement it in my life. But I've kind of hit a spot here in my life. I've been in the HVAC industry for 26 years, 20 years working for contractors and in many different roles, 6 years in the wholesale side of it. And recently I went out and got my own contractor's license. So I'm licensed in my state to do contracting work. And I've just been trying to figure out. I feel like I've been praying to God hard about it. I'm trying to figure out what I need to do, whether I need to stay in what I'm doing or do I need to take my contractor's license and all my experience and move on and do my own thing. I'm trying to figure that out.
So when I hear a question like this, Tommy, we're approaching 5,000 callers, they tell me, and mm-hmm. I've heard this call a lot. And I think this is a classic wrestling match between your head and your heart. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes.
So let's just walk through this. I'm going to let Guy tell you. I'm going to pass the baton to Guy. All right? So what's your head telling you to do? Just say it.
My head's telling me to run with it. That's what my head's telling me. My head's telling me that I can do this. I have.
What's your heart telling you?
My heart's telling me that I can do this.
So you're confused. Your head's telling you, stay with what you know. You've been doing it 2 decades. You're successful at it. You got a nice paycheck, benefits, yada, 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 right? Your heart's right. Going, go do it on your own, Tommy. Tommy, do it on your own. That's what your heart's telling you. Right, am I right?
Right.
All right,
yes.
Guy. What does he do, Guy?
Tommy, here's the reality, okay? You have 25 years of experience in this business, all right? There is no doubt in my mind or in the minds of anyone listening that you have all of the tools necessary to do this successfully. Mm-hmm. You have deep, deep, deep experience in the industry. And I can tell you, I've interviewed hundreds of people, and among the most, those who succeed the fastest are those who have had decades of experience. Let me give you an example from North Carolina. I just interviewed Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams, the famous furniture makers based in Hickory, North Carolina. Okay. Mitchell Gold was in the furniture business for 15 years before he decided with Bob Williams to start their own company. It's now $100 million brand, national brand all over the United States. He did it because he had the knowledge, he had the experience and the connections, and you have all of those things. So there's no doubt you can do it. What you need to understand is that it's going to be hard, and it's hard for all of us. I have days in my own business where it's hard, but what I find so important is to have somebody that you can rely on and talk through those doubts and those challenges, a friend, a partner, a spouse. For me, it's my wife. And that's so grounding. It's so important because even after doing what I do for 25 years, I go through moments of self-doubt and worry. And I always have that outside voice and perspective, who happens to be my wife, saying, step back for a sec, understand the perspective, get on the balcony and look down and you will see that everything is going fine.
That's true.
And that's one of the first things that I would suggest you seek out.
All right, Tommy, listen, that's great advice. Here's what I want you to do. Create a plan. You know how to run this business. You've watched other people run it. Take your time. Step into it smoothly. No jumping off the dock. Just step into the nice next new boat. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Life is way too short to be living for the weekend. If you're just trying to hold on and make it to Friday, happy hour where you can drink your face off, you've landed in the right place. Because I'm telling you, work can be and should be enjoyable. It should be about enjoying. It should be invigorating. Yes, it's exhausting. This idea that if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life, that's a bunch of horse crap as well, because I love what I do, and I work my butt off. So does my guest, Guy Raz. The guy's got more broadcast podcast than I don't even know how he sleeps. And yet, he looks very rested. Guy, I got to tell you, you got a lot going on between all of your commitments, your own production company, NPR. Before we get to the next call, I do want to ask you real quick, what is your rhythm? Because you do have high output. But I also know you're very serious about your family relationships, and you're more than just Guy, the public figure. What's the secret for you?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I've got two kids, 10 and 12, and that's my priority. Yeah. My wife is my business partner, my life partner. There are a couple things I do every day, Ken. I exercise every single day, even on days where I don't want to do it, like this morning. And oftentimes I get out of bed and I really don't want to do it. And mm-hmm. I do it every single day, and I have to do it. It's hugely important. Being motivated, being positive requires hard work. It's hard work. It requires effort, right? I try and spend, 15, 20 minutes meditating every day. For some people, it might be prayer. For other people, it might be sitting in a quiet room. Mm. I think it's really, really important to have 15, 20 minutes of alone time every day. If you can do some physical activity, it's really going to show the results will be clear. You will feel it.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. Good stuff there. All right, we're going to keep going here. Let's go to the Big Apple. Tamir joins us in New York City. Tamir, you're on the Ken Coleman Show, and you're joining my guest, Guy Raz. What's your question?
Hey, Ken, how are you? This is sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
That's okay.
Pleasure to speak to both of you.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. We've never lost a patient, so relax and tell us how we can help.
Okay, so spilling the beans over here a little bit, but yeah, I was hoping you could help me. So I absolutely love the people that I work for. They're great. A couple of years back, I went to 4 years of med school. I completed two boards. I had the second board. I got burnt out a little bit. My school needed me to take it with a certain grade, and I was just under, and then I had to reapply. I was very burnt out, and I try to change direction. So I'm working a few years in sales with people that I love, but I'm not like fully motivated about mm-hmm. the career. It doesn't fulfill me as much. You know what I mean?
It's I not totally like, know what you mean. So here's the deal. When somebody talks about not being motivated, we tend in this culture to kind of treat the word motivation like it's an attitude that we can flip on or off. Get motivated. That's a bunch of garbage. Because the root word of motivation is motive. And we use the word motive in legal context, correct? You know, if there's a murder suspect, the prosecuting attorney has to prove motive, which in other words, has to prove to the jury that there's a why, okay? And so you will never be motivated until you show up at work and it's connected to your why. And so I've just got a question for you. Let's just forget everything that's happened to you. Let's suspend reality for a moment. Had you not burned out and passed all your boards, would you be calling me right now? Is medicine or helping people in the space of health, whether it be, specifically in preventative medicine or somewhere other area of their physical health, is that your jam? Is that what you love to do? Is that the problem you love to solve?
Yeah, I mean, Very. That's my passion.
So you failed the boards. So you get back up on the horse.
Know you.
Right. So you would be thriving because you would be solving problems for people that matter deeply to you, correct?
Yeah, that's my real passion.
Okay, then. So what are some alternative areas right now? Forget about how hard it's going to be, how long it's going to take. Forget that for a moment. Do you go right back where you were? Are there some alternative areas?
There are alternative areas, and I'm only considering those because I'm married with kids.
Got
and
it.
I think it's going to be hard on... I know it's going to be hard on my wife to.
Is she all in?
To that route.
Is she all in?
She is trying to be supportive, but she knows it's very hard for her to go back to me studying for the boards again.
Yeah. What are the alternative areas? I want Guy to hear this. What are these alternative areas where you're helping people with their health that may not be the traditional doctor route?
Right. So I was considering maybe PA or NP, which mm-hmm. are the closest to that, mm-hmm. and NP more because that's 1 year school, and then the NP part you could do on your own time. Like you could do a program.
Yeah.
The PA would be 2 years full. Mm-hmm. The nursing is only 1 year full, and then the NP is 2 years on while you're working. So that's less stress on mm-hmm. on my family, I think, work-wise.
Yeah, so Guy, I want you to comment on this because I see the same why. I see the same why attached to those type of roles. Who cares about prestige and what he set out to do? It's really about the people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I clearly, Tamir, you have a calling, and your calling is to serve, right? And to serve in probably the most noble profession, right, out there. I mean, human health. Most of us interact with physician's assistants and nurse practitioners more than we do with mm-hmm. with doctors, and oftentimes it is our this is the front line of medical care, and not to disrespect doctors, who I have immense respect for, but NPs and PAs don't get they don't get as much attention, but they are actually the ones who provide probably the most care, and in many cases are as knowledgeable as the doctors are about what's going on. It seems to me that is something absolutely worthwhile pursuing. Let me just add one quick alternative thought. If in fact you decide that you can't go in that direction, I've interviewed many people who've been in a similar position like you, who either didn't complete their boards or did complete medical school but decided not to practice medicine. Some of whom went on into consulting. With your background alone, you are very valuable to consulting firms, to medical startups like ZocDoc. Olivier Caraz, who started ZocDoc, was a medical doctor who decided to start. I think you know what ZocDoc is. It helps people make appointments with their doctors. There are all kinds of medical professionals who go into the startup world to provide services for hospitals and for clinicians. And that could also be something to explore.
Yeah, I love that advice. Tamir, listen to me. Here's what you got to walk away with. Your wife wants to be all in. And I think she's close, but that's on you. You got to cast vision. And so you got to come up with a plan. She needs to know that there's some security in your time, in your finances, and all those things. So you cast vision to her once you come up with these alternatives that you've discussed. I thought, guys, recommendations are absolutely spot on. You have so much that you can offer. And here's where they all come together. When you realize you use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission. You've heard me say that on the show. That's why you called and trusted me today. But that's the ultimate litmus test. And so these alternatives that Guy gave you, you just simply look at and go, is it allowing me to use what I do best, to do work I love, to produce results that matter to me? Come up with a plan, come up with how we finance the plan, and then move forward. You got this. There's no stain on you at all. And I think the experience you've been through is going to make you better at caring for the people that you long to care for. And I just absolutely cannot emphasize that enough. Those of you that are watching and listening, you're hearing yourself in Tamir's story. Listen, just because he failed or there was some challenges doesn't mean the why or the purpose, poof, evaporates. It just may not be there where he thought it was going to be. Or maybe it is there and he just gets back up on the horse. And I just can't tell you enough about failure, 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 not being final.
And boy, Guy, he can speak to that. Now, here's what we're doing. He's staying with us. For those of you that are viewing the show right now, he's going to stay with us. We're going to take some more calls. So that's going to be a lot of fun. For those of you that are listening, make sure you check out everything that Guy is up to. Guy, give him a website where they could check everything out for you.
You can go to guyraz.com, G-U-I-R-A-Z.com, or you can just type in Wow in the World for Kids, How I Built This, or Wisdom from the Top, however you listen to podcasts.
There you go.
And
you can find them. All right. Hey, for the rest of you, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey, good folks, this is John, host of The Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to The Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.